On Thursday, the 16th of October, 2014, it's the ALAC and CCNSO Council meeting. Welcome to our CCNSO visitors, should I say, or guests. Katrina Sataki, next to me.
Good morning. Unfortunately, our chair, Byron Holland, could not make it this morning, but I hope that we will we will wave the flag without him.
Thank you very much. Welcome. We also have Leslie Cowley, who is, and Demi Greshko, hiding behind the camera, but we might turn to you later on.
And Hiro. Ron is out.
Hiro. Okay, Hiro. And Hiro. So we have a welcome by the outgoing chair of ALAC, Olivier Crépin-Leblanc, an introduction of incoming chair, Alan Greenberg. Okay, so I'm discovering the agenda, of course, as we all are, which was the agenda, of course, was prepared by Maureen Hilliard and Ron Sherwood and the working group that we have to prepare those agendas. So, as you know, yes, this is my last ALAC meeting, and so the next meeting you will next ICANN last ICANN meeting as a chair. And the next chair of the ALAC, well, barring any last-minute changes, is Alan Greenberg. I'm not sure. Alan, did you wish to say a couple of words, or shall we just move straight to the agenda?
Let's proceed with the agenda.
Thank you. So over to you, Katrina.
Yes, well, thank you, Olivier, and I must say that... Well, on behalf of CCNSO community, we thank you for the work you put in to ALAC, to strengthening ties between ALAC and CCNSO. I think that, well, it's really been great working with you, and I hope that you'll still be around and will help us to move our relationship even further, because... It's really important that our communities now come together and start discussing issues, because there are many issues to discuss. And, of course, I would like to welcome Alan as the new chair, and I must say that we at the CCNSO have a lot of experience with Canadians, especially Canadian chairs. So, dear ALAC members, if you have any questions, please...
Tricks at the trade.
Yeah, exactly. Well, actually, there are many Canadians now in top positions, and our Canadians hope that at some point ICANN will sponsor a Canadian hockey team. yes, it's been a very busy time for us at the CCNSO. I think that just as for the whole ICANN community, we've been pretty occupied by IANA transition. It's a very important issue for those stakeholders who are directly involved, and CCTLD community is definitely one which is very much impacted by all these issues. And we have finally gotten left off on the CWG, and we have to thank Olivier for the work you've done there. He's been very actively engaged in this process from the very beginning. Accountability also has been quite a challenge from a process perspective, and we can definitely exchange views a bit later. So we are back to you.
Okay, thank you very much. And our next agenda item is the Atlas II declaration issues. And we have a few minutes just to take you through a few of the points of the Atlas II declaration. This, as a reminder, was a document that was ratified by the ALAC and drafted by the 150 at-large structures that came... At that time, yes, that came to London to the At-Large Summit, so otherwise known as the Atlas. If we can have a copy of the page on the screen, that would be great. Now, the reason why we thought about having this and sharing these with you is that there are a handful of these topics that are actually aimed at, with recipients over, aimed at SO and AC chairs, and of course that includes the chair of the CCNSO. So we have 43 recommendations that were drafted, of which 22, I believe, were aimed at the board, and the rest were aimed at either the at-large community, other SOs and ACs, or the ALAC itself. We set up an ATLAS implementation task force, a follow-up implementation task force, that looked at the recommendations and started to flesh them out, perhaps expand on some of them, since they were just one-liners, so there might have been some ambiguity, or perhaps it was just the seed, the start of future work. So I just wanted to go through a handful of them. I hope that we have the text. We have a link to the post-ATLAS 2 activities workspace, which I shall put into the chat. There we are. So for people, you can click on this, and that's a wiki page which takes us through all of the recommendations. And just doing a search, recommendation 4, for example, says, ICANN should study the possibility of enhancing and increasing the role of liaisons between its different advisory committees and supporting organizations to do away with the silo culture. That certainly appears to be a mandate for both Ron Sherwood and Maureen Hilliard to strengthen their activities. How can they do better? Yes, it's Maureen, did you want to comment quickly on this? Maureen Hilliard?
We're working on it.
You're working on it. Okay, great. Well, the very fact we're having this agenda and we're moving forward seems to be... I think we've got good interaction with the CCNSO. Maureen files a report monthly that she has the chance to also explain on our ALAC calls. I'm not sure how the works in the CCNSO. Oh, Cheryl Langdonor.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. Cheryl Langdonor for the transcript record. One thing I thought might be interesting for the CCNSO to know, and as I believe, because the CCNSO and ALAC relationship between the liaisons and, of course, the relationship between GNSO and ALAC in terms of liaisons are long-standing and well-established. But, of course, what we have done internally is that our liaisons, that's to the GNSO, the CCNSO, and to the ESSAC, are ex officio on the leadership team. So there is a continued ability, and yes, sadly, many more meetings in a month, that the liaisons, that our liaisons have to report in and to bring things up to speed. And I'm just putting that out there because I know there's great variability where we have liaisons in other places, how they operate. Of course, GNSO treats their liaisons as council members, but I'm unsure whether that, other than the ALAC, that who we send out are kept that close to the leadership team. Just thought it was worth noting. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Cheryl. Looking back at the page, it's Olivier speaking, I also realized that some recommendations are aimed at the wider ICANN community. I'm not sure if we have the time to go through these. There are a handful of these. Katrina.
Thank you, Chair. Katrina Sataki for the record. Yes, maybe we should not go through all the recommendations, but there's one observation as opposed to a recommendation, which really triggered interest in our community for obvious reason, because it mentions CCTLDs. And let me quote, obtain openness and transparency from each country's CCTLD or country code operator. And we would really appreciate some clarification and something. Well, could you please elaborate more on this observation?
Thank you very much, Katrina. I feel a tingling feeling down the back of my neck at the moment. So just to first explain observations, and then I'll hand the floor over to Alan Greenberg, who will be most qualified to answer this question. The recommendations, of course, are really what we have aimed at the board, at the ALAC, and so on, for action. The observations are not recommendations, as their name implies, and the reason for this is that when reviewing all of the recommendations, some of them were neither aimed at, were either not aimed at any particular ICANN community, so it's very difficult to provide recommendations to communities that are outside of ICANN. And of course, we are aware that with regards to CCTLDs, the policy work and the definition of the CCTLDs operations are not done at CCNSO level and not within ICANN, but of course is the responsibility of the individual TLDs. So this became an observation. It's not something that we can ask to be actionable, but I would guess you could say this as a hope for best practice. I'm not quite sure how to exactly interpret this. Alan, then we have Maureen, and then Evan. Alan Greenberg first.
I think all of these statements need to be prefaced with a little bit of background. We have these summits periodically. This is the second one we had. The last one was 5 years ago. We have had huge growth since then. One of the main reasons for the summit is to expose the people from the periphery of the at-large organization to what ICANN is. Comprehending it all by reading websites and email lists is a bit daunting. On the first day they're here, we ask them to sit down and start drafting recommendations. That may or may not be the wisest way to operate. Therefore, they may not be worded in the most diplomatic sense form, and they may not be fully cognizant and aware of what's actually going on. We try to do a lot of training ahead of time. Some people attend, some people don't. So, with some forgiveness, take everything with a grain of salt.
And hence, it's Olivier speaking, and hence that became an observation rather than a recommendation. Maureen Helliard.
Also just raising the fact that within the regional organisations, we've been trying to sort of like develop relationships between CCTLDs and the ALSs. And we've actually, because we found that a lot of the ALSs actually aren't aware of what the operations are within their CCTLDs, which is why we started to to build up the database, which we're still working on. And again, it's just really to enhance and create some better understanding between the two organisations.
Thank you, Maureen. Next is Evan Leibovich.
Thanks, Olivia. This is Evan. I think part of the call that you see here, I think also reflects a general end user unawareness of the distinction between generics and CCs, and as well as a complete lack of understanding that ICANN has basically no policy authority over CCs. You know that, we know that, the folks out there don't know that. And so I was wondering, and maybe transparency isn't the right term for this, but for instance, does there exist anything on the ICANN website that says the following TLDs are not governed by ICANN, and here's pointers to the websites where they are? Even something like that, I think, would go a long way towards providing end user and consumer information that would be very helpful. It would demonstrate the components of the TLD world that are not governed by ICANN, and I think would go a long way to providing some very useful information that helps show the differences, while at the same time, if somebody has a problem with the TLD, saying, don't go to ICANN, go here. Thanks.
Katrina?
Katrina Sataki for the record. Thank you for the question and observation. Yes, I would say that on the ICANN website, you can clearly find a distinction between CCTLDs and GTLDs. Not that they're on separate lists. There's one list, but regarding policy, if you read carefully, you can definitely see that. But I agree that people do not read. No, not even carefully, they do not read, period. Regarding the pointers to websites, on the IANA database, whenever you open detailed information about any CCTLD or GTLD, you can see pointer to their website. And so it's there.
Olivier, this is Evan.
Evan Leibovich for response, and then Leslie
Cowley. Just a small comment. The issue is not that it exists somewhere buried in the IANA pages. The problem is that it is not accessible to end users that don't know where to look. That's the big issue. And this ends up, I guess, where it is a transparency issue, that it's not something that is buried within the lingo of ICANN somewhere in the website, but becomes very clear if somebody has a problem with this, with the website, where they find the TLD. I'm just trying to make the issue as a matter of transparency, as a matter of clarity to end users, to being able to put this in accessible language in a way that's easy to find without saying you have to go here, then here, then here, then here, and then you may find it. We understand conscientious users that understand the culture here can understand where to find that, but I'm thinking of, you know, my family back home, if they have a complaint with the domain, where do they look? What exists right now is totally impenetrable. Thank you.
Thank you, Evan. Leslie Cowley.
Thank you. Leslie Cowley from CCNSO. I accept Alan's health warning, and Evan, your comments are really helpful, because it struck me, actually, from what you've said thus far, that the issue is more around communication and information, mm-hmm. as opposed to transparency. Mm-hmm. So it's really helpful to add some such-as comments as part of this dialogue that gives CCTLD operators something to take back and think about, because I can absolutely agree with you that some operators are maybe not as clear, it's not as straightforward when you're going to the website. And if it's as simple as that, that's actually relatively easy, one would hope, to remedy, because that's for the good of everybody. So I guess a bit more colour on what we might do and what would be considered as best practice would be really helpful for us to work on together, perhaps.
Thank you for this, Leslie. I have Alan Greenberg in the queue next.
As we were talking, I went to the ICANN website, and you can easily find, going from the very first menu, a list of all TLDs. Now, assuming you know what the acronym TLD is, but we'll ignore that. Sadly, however, it is an ASCII list of the TLDs. Not a pointer, not an indication of what kind of TLD it is. It is an ASCII list of words. We have a little bit of work to do.
Thank you, Alan. Holly Reich, and then the queue is closed. We need to move on to the next item. Holly.
Just 20 seconds to say I have the same problem with most of the website, that if you don't know what you're looking for, there's no way you'll find it. And indeed, if you do know what you're looking for, you can't find it.
Thank you, Holly. Olivier speaking. So the rest of the recommendations, I mean, this is an observation. I guess we can probably have a follow-up item on this. Let's have an action item, please. And the action item is for the ALAC to follow up with observation number 8 in the Atlas II declaration. We were not planning on following up on any of the observations specifically. Our real priority at the moment is to follow up on the recommendations themselves. And in fact, looking at the list of recommendations that affect the, or that might affect, or that would be of interest to the CCNSO, that's the way to say it, these haven't yet been fleshed out. So we will probably follow up with you in Marrakesh if we manage to find time to have a joint meeting at that point. And in the meantime, we will be coming back to you with the request that you've just made, that perhaps we could provide more details about best practices that we would like to, we would be interested in seeing. So let's go to the next agenda item, and time is tight. So the next one is number four, and that's the shared IANA and accountability issues. Now, Of course, these are huge, huge topics. We have about 20 minutes to discuss these, just under 20 minutes. I'm not going to ask for a full introduction from our leaders in the topic, but what we do have is a working group that feeds the IANA issues on the one hand, feeds our two ICG members on the one side, and also feeds the members of the cross-community working group on IANA naming issues. I think I've shortened it enough. And on the other side, we are creating an ad hoc accountability working group to feed on the accountability process. And that's, of course, the coordination on the one hand and the cross-community group on the other hand. So these are the two tracks that we have on our side. Cheryl, did you wish to... Are you just rearranging your name? No, you wish to have the floor. Cheryl Langdonor.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Cheryl Langdonor, for the transcript record. You're using a term that we are familiar with, how we feed into appointed people. I'm unsure whether or not, for the record for CCNSO, they're thinking we're having dinner or what's going on. We have regular weekly meetings with an ad hoc working group that runs usually 60 or 90 minutes. I can't remember. They're in midnight and 3 a.m. for me, so it's about 90 minutes. So every week, the two people we have sitting on the ICG are with our wider community in a full, frank and fearless discussion going two ways. So that's feed.
Thank you very much for this explanation, Cheryl. So we have an enormous amount of work in front of us, and of course the whole week has been really busy with several meetings. We had a meeting, sounds like a few years ago, but it was actually a couple of days ago, with the ICG. We met with the ASO as well, and really the purpose of our meeting here is just to find out what kind of issues your community were interested in or we're going to focus on in the proposal, and I believe from the naming community, since the CCs, and I'm saying here CCs, not only CCNSO, I did say CCs, including non-CCNSO members, are interested in the names. I wouldn't imagine there would be so much involvement in numbers or in protocol parameters. Katrina.
Katrina Sataki. Yes, Olivia, you're very... to the point, exactly that has been our concern, to reach out to those who are not CCNSO members, and even further, to those who are not involved even in regional organizations, or in any other organization, those CCTLDs who have not been active so far. What we've done, we have established a World TLD email list, where any CCTLD operator can sign up and receive latest news. What we do care about, for us, the most important point is to ensure business continuity, to ensure that those servers keep resolving. And that is the main point we're really focusing on, apart from the political issues. Technically, we must provide the service. What we would like really to know from you, could you give us the sense at this point, what your community actually is looking for on the IANA function transition? So what's the essence here?
Thank you very much for this, Katrina. I open the floor if anybody wishes to start with this. Holly Reich.
Just a couple of things. I think we conceptually have thought about the whole IANA issues in terms of probably two streams. One is the more technical issues, which are about resolving servers, root, etc. And what we have thought of as an ALAC contribution is to have that kind of overlay question about, are their performance metrics, are they monitored, are they reported publicly, what happens if they're not met, those sorts of issues. So what are the accountability issues? And we are not digging down into the more technical stuff. I understand where you're coming from and where the CCs are coming from, which is we want it to keep working, and what happens if it doesn't? And I think that's a concern we share. Then the other part of what we're looking at is accountability in the short term, which is more a how robust is the ICANN board, its structures, and really going back to a comment that Larry Strickling made when he addressed the meeting, which was, you know, what happens with a hostile takeover over the ICANN board, which I must admit I hadn't conceptualised, but you know that kind of level of the security of the openness and accountability of ICANN itself, quite apart from the technical. So that's the way we've been approaching it. From what I hear you're saying, part of your concern is that technical, so that the CCs that are not part of the IANA family nevertheless would be complying with, say, the IETF requirements or the MOU with IAB. So it's that technical you're asking. Are you asking anything else? Because clearly some CCs have no involvement whatsoever with ICANN, other than that kind of technical level. Thank you.
Thank you, Holly. Any other points? Alan, you wanted to speak next. Alan Greenberg.
Just one thought related to Holly was talking about the hostile takeover of the ICANN board example. Those of you who are not old enough do not remember a President's Committee... President's Strategy Committee.
Yep.
That existed several years ago and looked at a number of things, including what to do if the ICANN board, I think, you know, goes rogue or the community decides, and they looked at a number of options, including what I believe they call the nuclear option, that is, we recall the entire ICANN board and start from scratch. There were a number, it's worth reading, because it sounds simple until you say, fine, who runs ICANN while we are selecting the new board? Who selects the new board? Why do we trust them more than we trust the board that we just ditched? As we look at options related to that, the President's Strategy Committee did not end up really going anywhere, but they did a lot of work, and it may be worth reading some of it, just so we don't have to repeat all of the same work. We may come to the same conclusions they did, we may not, but it's history that shouldn't be ignored completely.
Okay, Don Hollander.
Thank you, Don Hollander from APTLD. So what I think I've just heard is a big focus from ALAC on the accountability issues, and I'm just not sure what I'm hearing from ALAC on the IANA transition issues. Is this something that you're saying, oh, it's really not about us and we're more interested in the accountability, which is a perfectly fine response? I'm just trying to get a sense of that. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much, Don. Olivier Crépin-Leblanc speaking. So the ALAC had, just as a follow-up, had a meeting with the ICG on Tuesday afternoon and then had a brainstorming session. And I wanted to share with you the result of the brainstorming. So bear in mind, this is very rough at the moment, but these are just the issues which the ALAC or the working group members, not even the ALAC, but all of the working group members that were present raised and that we will be looking at in the forthcoming weeks with the view of probably forming our own input into the ICG. There was a concern at the beginning that the three operational communities were the only ones allowed to bring proposals to the ICG, and the other communities would just be bringing input that would be considered at a different level than the proposals. And the response we have had from the ICG is that all of the proposals and input will be considered on a par level, provided, of course, that they're reasonable. And so we've worked on, along that line. Of course, we have some of our members that are so member at-large structures that are involved directly in the operational communities that will be creating the proposals, but they won't be acting as at-large representatives. For example, we have some people who are members or active in the IETF, and as we know, the IETF, the way the IETF works, people participate in their personal capacity. But there will be some kind of coordination, if you want, as in those members or those member ALSs reporting back to the working group and saying what they've been up to in these operational communities. Now, yeah, Don Hollander?
I'm just really excited to hear about the brainstorming results.
Yes, yes, thank you, Don. I'm trying to make it even more exciting by building it up. Okay, let's. I think staff can put it on one of the screens, but first, Jean-Jacques Subrena.
Thank you. This is Jean-Jacques. Two things to follow up on what Alan said. I was a member of the President's Strategy Committee and one of the chief drafters of the recommendations, which was called the whole thing was called improving institutional confidence. So there was the word confidence. Nowadays, we tend to talk more about accountability. But what's interesting is that in both cases, a linguist would point to something even above that, which is trust. I think this is the real question. I agree with Alan that it would be useful for those who are interested to go back to the conclusions and especially the recommendations of the work we did then. The other thing I want to bring up is for our colleagues from the CCNSO, I think there are two things which are interesting in what we do. The first is the methodology. Right from the start, when it was understood that the ALAC could contribute two or whatever number of participants in the ICG itself, then immediately a group was formed in order to vet all the subjects which could come up and which would be of interest to the general internet user. And that's how Mohamed El-Bashir and myself, the two ALAC representatives at the ICG, are quote-unquote fed with information and perhaps instructions. This is extremely useful. In fact, I think this is the chief difference between us and some other groups who are taking part in the ICG. So what I said to my colleagues on the ALAC the other day for the input of the ALAC is, first of all, we want something which is not encyclopedic. We have to choose our subjects. We can't cover everything because many communities will be contributing all sorts of stuff on all sorts of subjects, which will make the task of the ICG extremely complex. But never mind. The main thing is that there's no point in us spending time on subjects which will probably be better treated or more completely by some other community. So we have to choose our subjects, drill down on them, and respect the timetable. Because there was also some talk about, the timetable may be flexible, etc. I advise that that's not the case. We have to keep to that and give our input through Mohamed and myself before the 15th of January. Thanks.
Thank you, Jean-Jacques. We have a queue with Leslie Cowley first.
Thank you. I was pleased to see risk on your list there because it strikes me that the issues you're talking around and that I would suggest would be particularly helpful from the ALAC is non-technical risks and how they might be mitigated or addressed. And I guess in CC experience, risks that need nuclear options are fairly infrequent, if ever. What is more of an issue is often a gradual drift, for example, particularly when it comes to issues of trust and accountability. And I guess there's lots of us that are going to be focusing on technical risk and mitigation of that and operational risk, particularly because of the effects it might have.
Thank you, Leslie. Katrina?
Thank you. I completely agree with what Leslie just said. Plus, I also would like to say that for us at CCNSO. It's really interesting to hear what you as a community see, and perhaps you can raise some issue that we as IANA's direct customers do not notice, and maybe it's not an issue for us, but that's an issue for you, and it would be really important for us to know what those issues are, and maybe we can address them together. And another thing about the this tight schedule and tight timeline that we're all forced to operate in, for us the deadline of October 2015 is more like a hard stop than a notional deadline, so we really committed to do everything that we can. At the same time, for us it's more important to have real substantial proposal than just something thrown on the table. So thank you.
Thank you very much for this, Katrina. Olivier speaking, and for the benefit of those people following us remotely, and there are quite a few, the list reads as follows, just reading through it quickly and perhaps with a few words about it. So this is the list of just the brainstorming topics, issues that came out. Post-transition safeguards, I think a lot of it actually going into the continuity that you mentioned as well. There is a real concern in our community that some might wish to shake the whole process and shake the whole arrangement, and I don't think that this was the feeling of our community, certainly in the input that we received on this. So post-transition safeguards, performance metrics accomplished regularly, that was something that was, quite strong. Response strategies, risk management matrix, how do we recognize satisfaction, customer satisfaction, end user satisfaction as to how things, what is a satisfactory state of operations and so on. Confidence in the root zone, continuity of allocation of IP addresses and fairness. There was concern that that some of the current policies of IP allocation, which appears to be working well, might be changed in the future to the detriment of internet end users. So continuity of allocation IP addresses and fairness, no change of current IP policies, as you see. Key processes that work, do not change them. Well, that sounds very much like continuity. Finally, creation of another oversight body was something that was touched on because we wanted to see whether there would be any advantage of creating another oversight body. But I do understand, and I think I'm not overstepping my mark, that our community fully understands that creating a second ICANN would just create us double the headache than we currently have. So it's, of course, this is still open, but it looks like there might be or might not be. It's just an avenue that we have to explore. Jean-Jacques Subrenat.
This is Jean-Jacques. Just a minor point of vocabulary. The creation of another oversight body is something which we have heard on and off over the past few years. It's the thought or the idea, the notion of the creation of a sort of Senate, which would be linked, loosely linked to ICANN, but which would be above ICANN. That's simply an idea. We're not working on that.
Yes, thank you, Jean-Jacques. So you will not wake up to a new Senate. Okay, so are there any questions or comments? Don Hollander.
So thank you very much, Don Hollander from APTLD. Not terribly relevant to APTLD, but my colleagues at APNIC have a community-driven approach to setting policies. And what this rough mind map or brainstorming dump suggests is you want those frozen, and I don't think that's really, I certainly hope that's not what you want, that you would want the continued community-developed policies for IP address allocation to continue. Is that correct?
Yes, thank you very much, Don. I believe that is the intent, of course, is to keep processes that work, keep them running, basically. So if the current policy development process within APNIC and within the different RIRs work, then why change them? I think that was pretty much the intent, to sort of keep things that work. not to say freeze things. So, of course, yeah, I ask for your indulgence on the wording of these. Of course, as I said, these are just verbatim from the notice board from that we had. And we should have prepared for this, unfortunately, but didn't have the time until now to translate them into actual English or something that makes sense. Okay, I think that we've reached the end of this meeting, certainly the time allocated to it. I'm not sure whether you have any more questions or comments regarding the INA stewardship transition, or because we're all here. So, Don Hollander?
So, just given that nobody else has questions, can we subscribe as lurkers to your discussion list? Thank you very much.
Yes, Don. Olivier Crépin-Leblanc speaking. And indeed, our lists are all open. At the moment, the only thing is there our list is you have to subscribe to it. We allow anybody to subscribe to it. However, what we do not allow is for the archives to be publicly viewable at the moment. You have to be a list member to view the archive. The reason for it being that Google has the intention of lurking through those quite a lot. And for anyone who does not join and does not know some of the background to the discussions that we have, they might suddenly put something in the ALAC's mouth, which of course might be just discussion points at the time itself. So we do have a concern about uninformed people coming in and drawing conclusions from the discussions. It's a small concern, but of course we would accept, I think, everyone who wishes to come in. But Tijani Benjema and Holly Reich. No, Holly. Tijani.
Thank you, Olivier. Tijani speaking. I know that the cross-community working group just started, and any submission or any proposal will come from there. But as a naming structure, I am sure you are not waiting for this working group to start your work. So where are you now in preparing the contribution of the CCNSO for the transition of the naming function of IANA?
Thank you, Tijani. Over to you, Katrina.
Yes, Katrina Sataki. Yes, you're, of course, you're right. Waiting will be shooting ourselves in the leg. Of course, we work, and the work has been done not only in the group, but also in regional organizations. For example, one of the first steps was to identify all those CCTLDs we haven't reached out, so far. And our regional organizations now working on a survey to try to gather as much information as possible from our fellow CCTLDs to get some statistical information, to get view what are their expectations. So that's a quick answer. But yes, of course, you already started work.
Thank you, Katrina. Tijani Benjema with a follow-up, but we have to be quick because we are over time. Tijani.
Did you already coordinate with the GNSO? Did you have any idea about what could be the proposal?
We had a meeting with the GNSO this week, and of course we have liaisons with the GNSO as well. Currently we're working in parallel. Of course we must take into account that CCTLDs have slightly different focus and different interests than GTLDs. So again, that's a quick answer. But yes, we are aware of the work done by GNSO.
Thank you, Katrina. So going back to the action item, let's make it that members of the CCNSO, if they wish, should be added to the ALAC INA Issues Working Group, which is our working group, or back-end working group, if you wish. I don't know whether after this you might just give your details to the at-large staff and they'll be able to add you to it. Or for those people that are following remotely, send an email to staff@atlarge.icann.org and they'll add you over to the mailing list. And of course, we welcome your input on this. It's good to have people who are experts in the field. So with this, I think that we've reached the end of our meeting. Katrina?
Thank you very much for this interesting discussion, and I'm looking forward to keeping up all those issues, keeping in touch, and I hope on a very productive exchange of ideas and views in the future as well. See you all in Marrakesh. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Katrina. Bye-bye. And now we have to go to the main hall, I believe, for the sessions.
Los Angeles.
Los Angeles. Maybe Gisela, could you provide us with an announcement of what's happening next, please, including the time for lunch?
Yes, the next meeting, which is a general meeting, is the Enhancing ICANN Accountability, which is now in Los Angeles. With regards to all ALAC and RALO leaders, please, if we could reconvene here.